Words for Life is by Pastor Rob Buckingham of Bayside Church in Cheltenham. His talk title is Think Soberly. His introductory Bible reading is Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, using the NIV Bible.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So much wealth of truth in there that I want to spend a few minutes unpacking with you today. The context of Paul's comments is the different gifts or different functions that followers of Jesus have as we together make up the body of Christ. And he uses the example of the human body. Think about your body for a moment. Your body is made up of lots of different members, and all the different parts of your body have their own function. Any one of them on their own are not the body. They all make up the body, and when everything's working well together, then everything's fine. But if one part is suffering, if you've got pain in one part of your body, or certain part of your body starts packing up, then of course it impacts the entire body. So it is with the body of Christ, the church. Each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, says the Apostle Paul. It's the same with the followers of Jesus. Though we are many people, we make up one body, with each member having a different function. And Paul lists some of these various functions in the next verses that we just read. He talks about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has placed within us as his followers. And this is not an exhaustive list. You know, there are other gifts mentioned in other parts of Scripture as just a suggestion of some of the gifts that may be in people. So let's just take a look at the gifts that he mentions here. The first of them is prophesying. Now, this is the gift of communicating and applying revealed truth. So this is not a spontaneous message that someone may stand up in a congregation and give. That's kind of old-time charismatic behavior. But prophesying is the gift of communicating and applying truth. So what I'm doing right now is communicating and applying truth so that you can understand it and then run with it. So what I'm doing right now is actually fulfilling that word. I'm prophesying to you. And I'm also partly teaching, which is the next gift here. Teaching is to help others know the written word of God. And so in this message, I'll help you to understand the word, that's teaching, but then I'll also prophesy, which helps you apply the word that you have heard. Both of those need to operate together. Otherwise, we just stuff people's heads with knowledge. The next thing is serving. The Greek word here means to serve or to wait on tables. This is practical ways that we can help. It's packing hampers. It's doing the dishes at Matt's place. It's handing out things to people as they walk into a church gathering. Lots of different ways that we can operate this gift, not just within the context of the church, but of course in the broader community as well. The next is encouraging. And this is a very interesting word in the original language that literally means to stand up for others, to come to their defense. The Greek word here is parakleto, and it's the same word that Jesus used of the Holy Spirit. in his discourse in the Gospel of John. And he talks about, you know, it's good for you that I'm going away, because when I go, I will send another comforter, a paracleto, another just like me, Jesus says, who's going to come alongside you. It's not just a comforter, it's an encourager. He's your advocate. He comes alongside, he sees the needs in our lives, and then he comes to our defense. He stands up for us, he stands with us, and leads us to solutions. That's a wonderful gift the Holy Spirit does, but he does it through people with the gift of encouragement. The encouraging person will always believe the best about you. They're not behind your back criticizing and complaining. They're alongside. They're there to help. The next gift is giving. And this is an interesting Greek word, because it actually refers to cloth. And, you know, many times, of course, you would fold cloth up. But this word means to have cloth that is not folded. It's just unfolded, and it's one piece of cloth. And it means simplicity. It's not many folded. It is simple, unfolded, giving. And it refers to a person who chooses to live a simple lifestyle, so they free up their resources to be able to help those in need. What a wonderful gift. And if you have that gift, Paul says, then give generously. The next gift is leading. And this refers to a well-established character, which provides the needed model to direct other people. That is, to positively impact them by your example, influencing people by having a respected reputation, one that is built on a solid track record. And so that should be the way for every leader. Every one of us who lead in the church should have a solid track record that you can look at and go, you know what? I know that person's not perfect, but they have led well for an extended period of time, and I can look at their life and their example, and I can mimic their example. I can learn how to be a follower of Jesus Christ by looking at them. That's what it means to have the gift of leading or leadership. And then finally, there's showing mercy, which means to feel empathy with the misery of another, especially so it manifests itself in action more than it would in words. So it's not, this gift is not just coming alongside and patting someone on the back and going, there, everything's going to be okay. The person that shows mercy will feel so deeply for what you're going through that it will spur them to action, to do something to help to bless and encourage and comfort you through difficult times. It means to be motivated by the grief of another person. And Paul says some interesting words here. He said, if you show mercy, if you operate this gift, do it cheerfully. And the reason that he says that is because for mercy people, it is so easy to be caught up in the problems of other people, so that you get weighed down and grieved yourself. So he says, make sure that you maintain a level of joy in your life as you help those who are suffering. Now, as I said before, no one possesses all of these gifts. And so you can see why we need to work together to serve one another in these various ways. We need each other in the body of Christ, in the local church. Paul says each member belongs to all the others. That's the family that God calls you in a local church like Bayside. When it comes to giftedness and to serving one another with our gifts, Paul says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Think soberly. I wonder, have you ever been not sober? I have. Not for a long time, you'll be glad to know, but in my younger years, before I really made a solid decision to be a follower of Jesus, I would drink to excess on a regular basis, and I mean several times a week. I'd go to the pub with my mates, and I'd get fairly inebriated. And so I can still remember those times, well, at least many of those times, and it wasn't good. When you're not sober, when people are plastered, they become emotionally unstable. They're uncoordinated. They have trouble making judgment calls. They have trouble remembering things. You might have blurry vision. You might lose your balance. Intoxicated people are known to take risks and to boast about their accomplishments and their abilities. They think more of themselves than they ought to. And so the Bible sobers us up here. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Think as you would as a sober person. Think soberly. And so here Paul warns us against arrogance. Have you ever met people who always talk about themselves? I have on more occasions than I care to remember. The times that you're with someone and they just talk at you, sometimes for hours, and their entire conversation is everything about them and how wonderful they are and how many great things they have done. I think sometimes people that just talk about themselves and they're constantly talking themselves up is just a cover for feelings of inadequacy and inferiority. They're trying to build themselves up in your eyes. Invariably, of course, it achieves exactly the opposite. We should also be on our guard of thinking less of ourselves than we ought. When we belittle or devalue ourselves, we deny the unique way that God has made each and every one of us. We should be able to say with the psalmist, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That word fearfully means awesomely or remarkably. I want you to make a note of that from the Psalms 139. And if you feel inadequate or if you belittle or devalue yourself, maybe you want to put that on a piece of paper and stick it to a mirror and look in the mirror on a regular basis and declare those words over your life. I am remarkably and wonderfully created by God. That is the way God sees you, and that is who you are. Avoid conceit and arrogance, and avoid undervaluing yourself. Think soberly and embrace humility. As C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, one of the most amazing Christian books I have ever read, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Wise words. I'll wrap this message up by suggesting some a positive reason to think soberly. And that is humility. Thinking soberly frees us up to serve other people. The most incredible example of this is Jesus himself. And I think of the act that is recorded in John chapter 13, where Jesus, during the Passover meal, the night of his betrayal, the day before he was to be crucified, he was at dinner with some of his followers. And during the meal, he got up and he wrapped a towel around himself and he got a basin of water and he stooped down to wash his disciples' feet. That act was the job of the lowest servant in the house. So back in the first century world, most of the roads were unpaved. They were dirt roads. People would wear sandals. They would walk from place to place. And so they would arrive with dirty, dusty feet. And so the lowest servant of the house would come out with a basin of water. The guest would sit down. The servant would take off the sandals, wash the dirty feet and dry them, and then put the sandals back on the person. And that was their entrance of hospitality. They would then recline and have the meal together. It was a little bit like in today, you know, when someone rocks up at your house, the first thing you do is offer them a drink. You know, would you like a tea or a coffee? Or can I get you a nice refreshing glass of water? That was the first century equivalent, the washing of the feet by the lowest servant in the household. And here Jesus stoops to serve. And how could he do that? Why did he do that? Well, John tells us in John 13 and verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up and he washed the feet. Hear that loud and clear. Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he was from. He knew where he was going. He was completely comfortable in his own skin. He had nothing to prove. He didn't think more highly of himself than he should. Neither did he belittle or devalue himself, but he thought soberly. And on the basis of that, he was set free to serve other people. As we embrace this new year together as a part of the body of Christ, as a church family together, let us think soberly. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Don't spend all your conversations talking about you and yourself and what you're doing. And don't devalue and belittle yourself either. Think soberly. Walk in humility. Be comfortable in the skin that you dwell in. And then you're set free to serve your brothers and sisters and the broader community.